It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And let's talk legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins both in the studio with us today. Good morning, folks.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning,
How
Ben.
Are you?
Doing well. How can we help out today?
Excuse me, Wes, we've always got so much to talk about.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
It never ends.
Well, I know people are always telling me that they appreciate the advice. I mean,
I do
hear that a lot.
Yeah,
right, folks?
We hear it too.
We get a lot of feedback.
And we're so thankful that we are able to give some advice here on the radio station, because it does make a difference in people's lives. There's just no question about it. Wes and I get thank yous all the time, and listeners listen consistently, and this is all a good thing.
And so they can go back and listen to past shows on your website, too.
They can. HarvellandCollins.com. Mm-hmm. And on there's a link to the radio program every week. And you can listen to shows, you know, that were a month ago. Catch up if you were unable to listen to the program. So we're very appreciative, Ben. So, Wes, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you know, of course, one of the areas where we spend a lot of time is elder law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, elder law really comprises so many different areas. It could be guardianship. It could be foreclosure related. It could be estate planning. It could be tax related. But one of the areas that over the years just is consistently very, very, very busy in our office in this county and really all surrounding counties is you know, the asset protection element of elder law. And what that really is about in general, Ben, is that, you know, when folks get older, obviously, and we end up having to go into assisted living or skilled nursing care, which obviously no one wants to have to do that, but we don't necessarily get that choice as our health deteriorates with age.
Mm-hmm.
Then we run into the issues of the expense of that. And, you know, the expense of that can be, very high these days. Skilled nursing care, we're seeing maybe $7,000 a month,
right?
$6,500, $7,500, incredibly expensive care. And, you know, the average family just cannot afford that for very long. So the questions with regard to, you know, how do I protect what I've saved over the years from that kind of expense? How do I prepare for that? How do I make sure that if something happens to me, my spouse, is not going to be left destitute?
Mm-hmm.
All these myriad of questions are things that we deal with on a routine basis, daily basis. And it is quite a maze.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to, as we say on the program, demystify that some today. We've talked about it before, but you know, another thing I want to bring up is that when we talk about maybe this topic 5 years ago,
right,
the conversation may be a little different even a year later or 2 years later or today.
Well,
and the reason why is because the law changes.
It's a moving target.
There are cases, you know, the courts interpret things, the General Assembly changes statutes, and, you know, in this area and really all areas, it's our job to stay on top of that, to stay ahead of that and make sure that we are, you know, state of the art, so to speak, with regard to advice we're giving our clients and work we're doing for our clients on these things.
Okay. All right. Where do we begin? Where do we start?
My goodness, it is broad. You know, the number one question I would say is, what about my house?
Mm-hmm.
What about my house? What about my land? What about my beach house? What about my farmland that family inherited?
The stuff you've acquired.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But really the house is the first question. You know, I've heard things about the house. I've heard that it doesn't count. I heard it does count.
Because real property has a special place in North Carolina law, so it does. That's one of the reasons.
It does, once again, with regard to elder law planning or asset protection planning. We call it the real property is treated very differently than that other big category, Ben, that we talk about a lot, which is your liquidity. And folks begin to get that a little confused about what liquidity or personal property means. We've talked about on the program before, it's basically everything else.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
It
that's
is
right.
That IRA, yeah. That mm-hmm. annuity, that cash value in life insurance, that bank account, that CD, that stock account. Anything and everything that you have mm-hmm. is either personal property, which is, you know, spendable, mm-hmm. or either land, real mm-hmm. property. The only, you know, caveat to that conversation is, yes, there are things, mm-hmm. cars, jewelry, artwork, mm-hmm. furniture, antiques, family heirlooms. And those, of course, for purposes of any kind of Medicaid planning, those things are exempt. Mm-hmm. You are able to have a car, one car, that mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, you know, heirlooms and family furniture and things of that nature, they do not look at that. But yes, absolutely, they look at it, the money,
mm-hmm.
not just money, right. as in money in the bank, but
right.
any kind of liquidity. And then, of course, there's the real property. So yeah. there you have these three categories.
And you brought up really mm-hmm. the two major categories there, too. One is just, how do I pass these assets on? And right. then how do I protect them from being spent?
Right,
and when I need
right.
to go into care, extended care. So.
Right. So the different areas that we talk about when we were talking about skilled nursing care, and that's what mm-hmm. we're going to focus on today, as opposed to assisted living, which is a little different and a
right.
different set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
But skilled nursing care is a higher level of care. And in many cases, we see our clients, the patient, in a situation where they may be discharged into skilled nursing care as a result of a car accident or
mm-hmm.
a result of a stroke or a result of, you know, any, you know, list of medical issues. So they have to go into a rehab period.
Right.
Now, folks get a little confused out there about the difference between Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, Medicare, which is basically the government insurance for healthcare, is going to provide a certain amount of care, usually up to that 20-21 day period, sometimes up to 100 days. But for the patients who end up in the skilled nursing facility for longer than maybe a mm-hmm. month, or that 20 day period of time, Medicare is not going to continue to cover that. So then we get into this question about, well, who is then going to be able to pay for this $7,000 a month that this skilled nursing care is taking?
Right.
And when I say rehab, this could also be someone, as we know, who has Alzheimer's, who has dementia,
mm-hmm.
who has other health issues, who's not ambulatory, who can't get around, who has to have medications administered, who's not getting the nutrition they need at home. We're having problems getting the level of care we need at home, and the medical provider is recommending a higher level of consistent care, being the skilled nursing care facility. So once we get to that point, the Medicare is not paying, and they only pay for a short period of time.
Right.
We're either private pay, and that means we're going to have to go find the money somewhere,
right.
sell
right.
things, so on and so forth. There may be long-term care insurance
mm-hmm.
that may be already in place if we're at this point in our life,
mm-hmm.
We're not going to be able to be eligible for long-term care insurance,
right?
Because of the illness or the injury or sickness. And then we look at Medicaid. Now, Medicaid has a specific provision section with regard to adult Medicaid services, skilled nursing care, and that's what at Harvell and Collins we have to be very adept at. We have
mm-hmm.
to know that law. We have to deal with that because we're really helping clients navigate that law really
right.
on a daily basis. So generally speaking, you can't have much in the way of assets and become eligible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're married, your spouse can have a relatively significant amount of assets. We'll talk about that here probably today, if not today, next week. But we want to make sure that the assets that we do have are structured in a way that the Medicaid laws allow us to structure them
mm-hmm.
so that they're not countable, number one, and number two, so they're not subject to estate recovery. And that's quite a catch-22 there and can be a surprise to people who do not do the correct planning.
Right. because there's a division that comes that keeps track, and will come back and put a lien on property, or will come back and try to recover.
Right.
Right.
You know, word to the wise there on that is that, you know, folks get caught in this trap sometimes of being told, well, the home place, the home, is a non-countable asset as long as we have a spouse living there. So maybe there's limited assets other than the home. So the person, whether husband or wife, end up receiving Medicaid benefits, and the home is still in their name because it's not countable under those particular set of facts.
Right.
So they're kind of lulled to sleep with regard to that. But then time goes on. The person receives a year or two of Medicaid coverage at $6,000-$7,000 a month. That adds up quickly. And then upon the death of the Medicaid recipient, then there's the right of the state to seek a lien or state recovery on that property. And if that property is not structured correctly under the law, then that becomes a big problem for the family.
Okay.
It's like pay me now or pay me later.
We'll talk about that too coming up in just a moment here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. More to come in just a bit. If you'd like to ask questions of Harvell and Collins, you can reach us right now at these numbers.
800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
Hey, welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. We're talking about the homestead and trying to protect that. And these cases of Medicare, Medicaid get confusing. So,
well, I think what we need to clarify, Ben, because our listeners are listening intently, as we appreciate them doing. See, they are told that their grandmother, their father, their mother, who is applying for Medicaid, that the home place is not countable, that this is not a problem, Mr. Jones. There's no problem with getting some assistance for your loved one, and they can keep the home. And this is true. But like so many things in the law, there is a catch. And the catch is that as soon as our applicant starts receiving benefit, the state of North Carolina, as they are entitled to do, keeps a tab on these benefits. And when they die, and now at this point, this home and or property or family farm or whatever it might be is in the estate, then they are able to seek a state recovery and reimburse themselves for this tab that has been ongoing while our loved one received benefits.
Now, if the person,
there's the backstory to this issue of the real property. The front story is that yes, absolutely, you can qualify and continue to hold on to your land, your home, your farm. It will not disqualify you. There is no problem. And then the backstory is, though, we will be able to seek reimbursement when the applicant is no longer living. And it's the backstory that doesn't get told. And it's not that it's any kind of intentional misrepresentation. It's just the law. And the backstory just doesn't get completely understood. So we as the lawyer begin to very much explain to our client. I mean, many times they will just say, I've already applied. They've told me that there's no problem with the home place. Mom is, you know, at Crystal Bluff or wherever she might happen to be. And things are going very well, Mr. Collins, Mr. Harvell. And mom does have that family farm out in Newport, but that didn't really come into play. And this is what their understanding is. Unfortunately, we then have to explain to them that, well, we understand that it did not keep your mother from receiving benefits, but the state of North Carolina is keeping a tab. Mm-hmm. And they will come against that family farm when mom is no longer living. So we better do some planning around that possibility.
I think sometimes that non-countable is an unfortunate phrase. Almost it should be like a set-aside. But is there a difference if there's a spouse living in it?
Yeah, they normally are not going to seek estate recovery in the event that there's a spouse living, but that's very risky, you mm-hmm. know, at the time of the death, mm-hmm. if there's a spouse living. But in the event that the spouse is not living in the home place or the spouse has passed away, then all of a sudden, yeah. you know, we've got 2 years of estate recovery coming out of property because we didn't do a little bit of planning. So let me give a little further description about what Cecil just talked about there. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because – you know, we talk about two different things. We talk about the home place being a non-countable asset, and the home place is a word we keep using.
Right.
You know, the home, the residence, whatever, but the home place is the actual term used in the Medicaid law.
Mm-hmm.
So the home place is treated in a very particular way. You could have, to your question, Ben, you can have someone who needs to apply for adult Medicaid services who's not married and is not going to be living in the home place. And they can sign either themselves or through a power of attorney an intent to return home.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does, that document, if you ask me, it lulls the person to sleep because mm-hmm. it would make the property not countable under the law,
mm-hmm.
but it makes the property subject to estate recovery.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's
so,
nobody living there,
right.
an intent to return home. So, yes. You know, that lulls them to sleep to think, oh, that property's protected. We won't have to worry about it. And it makes it not countable. But upon the death of that person, here comes a letter from Division of Medical Assistance for $200,000 and the home is gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they have the right to seek the lien recovery. That can all be avoided in the event that the law is followed and the property is structured correctly. Now, the other right. side of that, as Cecil mentioned, the farm,
mm-hmm.
the family farm. Well, the family farm could be the home place if the home place is there, and then it falls under that category.
Right.
But it'd have to be contiguous property altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the family farm is not where the home place
is. Yeah.
Well, that would not be countable because normally it's owned not by just the one person. It might be brother, sister, brother, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tenants in common.
Mm-hmm.
Tenants in common property, meaning a percentage interest of property, is not countable either, but it is directly subject to that estate recovery.
Hmm.
So there's two landmines right there. You sign an intent to return home. Everything's fine. We don't have to come up with the money. Medicaid's covering this for us. Sounds great. Thank goodness mom or dad's getting the care, but it's just a ticking time bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with regard to the family farm. Property's not countable as tenants in common. I own a 50% interest.
Right.
Well, ticking time bomb. As soon as the Medicaid applicant passes, then estate recovery hits, and it's too late at that point in time to structure the property in the correct way so it's not subject to estate recovery.
Okay, I'm going to take a short break so we can come back and talk about how you actually do structure that.
Okay, all right.
So we'll give it a little bit more time there, too. When we return here with Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law, remember, go to their website at harvellandcollins.com. You can listen to this show later, or you can also listen to other past shows, and we'll have more information for you coming up in just a bit. Okay, we're talking about that property, and someone has been in nursing care, skilled nursing care, for some time, and you're trying to protect that property. What steps?
Right. Well, first of all,
before
they
go,
we do the planning. You know, we do this planning at all different levels. I mean, a lot of folks do planning to protect their assets, even as a part of their estate plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're looking at their will and their power of attorney and those type important documents. In many cases, depending on the size of the estate, you know, that's something that the client is interested in discussing as well,
mm-hmm.
making sure we do what's necessary. So we do it at that stage. And then at some in some other situations, we deal with someone who, you know, has an imminent need and we're having to move pretty quickly in order to, you know, protect what needs to be protected. In general, and you know, the complexity of what has to be done is probably is beyond this program.
Yeah.
But, in general, the structuring of real property in an appropriately prepared trust document, and really it's a series of two trusts, all for the benefit of the family, all in the family, that allows for the property to be a non-countable asset, no matter if it is, you know, the home place or the family farm or an individually owned lot or whatever it may be. And it also allows for the property under the law to not be subject to estate recovery because of the limiting non-probate or probate estate recovery laws in North Carolina. So
essentially it means that they don't, you don't own the property in that entity any longer. It's another entity.
You do. You own it in a trust, but it's not under your exclusive control.
Right.
But the person has a life estate, which allows for the rights to, you know, collect rent from the property. And that's a whole different conversation with regard to Medicaid.
Sure.
To use the property exclusively, to really have all the right to possess the property, to really have all of the rights that you would have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But it structures the property so that we don't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key.
Because that seems to be the number one desire, is that when somebody is sick or they know that their that this care is probably imminent, they want to make sure that their family gets the use of that asset.
Well, we come full circle now to the very beginning of the program, and that's why we started with the real property, because absolutely, Ben, folks, there's a lot of emotional tie to the family home, the family farm, even more so, if you will. Also, let's keep in mind, Ben, that our real estate holding, our home, is very many times the most significant asset for a family. By the time we are seeking long-term care, it's usually paid for. It's a paid for asset. There has been great appreciation. This may be a home that I see files every day where grandmothers are telling me, you know, gosh, I bought my little house for, you know, $20,000-$30,000 in 1940. It's now worth, you know, a couple of $100,000 and it's now paid for. I had a family in from Salterpath last week where, you know, the you can only imagine what that property is now worth right there in the little village of Salterpath, okay? From the Highway 58 all the way back to the Sound, they've owned that property for, you know, 50, 60, 70 years, okay? They never could have dreamed that it would be worth what it's worth now.
Right.
They didn't pay that kind of money for the property. So they want to protect these kinds of properties. This is the kind of file that we hear about, you know, every day to the week. This is many times the most valuable asset emotionally, as well as financially, psychologically, in a file, the home place.
If you want to find out more about it, you want to call on the folks at Harvell and Collins, you can reach them at 726-9050. That's 726-9050. They're 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City, and online at harvellandcollins.com.